translation and the purport. Vidura being affected with delight and grief will then leave that place of sacred pilgrimage, purport. Vidura was astonished to see the marvellous departure of his brother Dhritarashtra as a liberated yogi, for in his past life he was so much attached to materialism. Of course, it is only due to Vidura that his brother attained the desirable goal of life. Vidura was therefore glad to learn about it, but he was sorry that he could not make his brother into a pure devotee. This was not done by Vidura because Dhritarashtra, being inimical to the Pandavas, who are devotees of the Lord. An offence at the feet of a Vaishnava is more dangerous than the offence at the lotus feet of the Lord. Vidura was certainly very liberal to bestow upon mercy upon his brother, Dhritarashtra, whose past life was very materialistic, but ultimately the result of such mercy certainly depended on the will of the Supreme Lord in the present life. Therefore, Dhritarashtra attained liberation only. And after many such liberated states of life, one can attain this stage of devotional service. Vidura was certainly very mortified by the death of his brother and sister-in-law, and the only remedy to mitigate such lamentation was to go out to pilgrimage. Thus Maharaj Yudhisthira had no chance to call back Vidura for his surviving uncle. So in this course, the first point that Prabhupada writes in the purport is how Dhritarashtra made an offence to the devotees, to the Pandavas. So, of course, this is one of the ten offences. Actually, this is the first offence, is actually to blaspheme the devotees of the Lord. This is the first offence of we have to avoid, ten offences we have to avoid. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur, Prabhupada, he said one time, we should display anger towards those who are envious of devotees. This is a particular limb of devotional service. A lack of anger against blasphemers is unjustified. But we need to understand who is actually envious of devotees. Those who do not serve the Supreme Lord, the Supersoul, the most blissful friend of all living entities, does not benefit themselves, but instead invite trouble by envy of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Such people are branded envious, and we should not show them mercy. These people become intoxicated by worshipping materialists. We should both ignore them and display our anger towards them. But before that, we have to see whether we ourselves are envious of devotees. we should ourselves are actually, whether we are ourselves actually serving Krishna or serving something else on the pretext of serving Krishna. How much are we attached to Krishna? Are we trying to enjoy the objects meant for Krishna's enjoyment? I think my enjoyment prone material body is fiercely envious of Krishna and his devotees, because instead of thinking constantly of Krishna's lotus feet and happiness, I'm busy worrying about my own happiness, blaspheming others, and looking for faults. I do not look at myself at all. I am such an offender at the feet of devotees that I should first learn to display anger towards myself. I am so envious that of devotees I should beat myself with shoes simply to purify myself. Then I can set an example for others and sincerely engage in service, Hari, Guru, and Vaishnavas. I must remember that everyone who is worshipping Hari, but me, I am unable to do so. I should also remember that I may die at any moment. So first we should sow anger towards our own sinful propensities, such as desire for profit, adoration, and distinction, and our propensity to cheat others. We must correct ourselves first, otherwise we cannot correct others. Then we have to correct those who are related to us, who are envious of the spiritual master and Krishna, and who are pulling us towards material enjoyment by tempting us. This is the secret of success. So this is Yudhishthira's only problem, or big problem he had, was because he was offensive to the devotees. And also, when we say that, we also be saying to all devotees of the Lord. Now, we should know there are four authorized Vaishnava Sampradayas. So this includes not saying anything against the devotees of the other three authorized Sampradayas. They may be there may be some differences that we cannot understand. So we should not say anything because they against those devotees, because they are authorized, and also this also includes in our sampradaya the other institutions from ours, because they are Gaudiya Vaishnavas and they can be very merciful. If we actually respect them properly. For instance, some years back, when I was in Mayapur taking devotees on Parakram, I often go to Sri Chaitanya Mat, and I developed a respectful relationship with some of the brahmacharis there, and for some years I heard there was some particular Mahabishad I wanted to see there. But if you go to the Sri Tanya Mat, actually at Chandrasekhar Bhavan, before you go in, there's a sign there. There's nothing to see inside. So I thought, there's no chance of seeing this, no chance. So then, one day, I was taking a party to devotees from Yoga Pit down to Jagannath Mandir. And while the other devotees, the group, were down taking photos on their phone of Shyamakund, this particular brahmachari came and said, "I know you want to see the Mahabishad that's in Chandrasekhar Bhavan." Said yes, but the other brahmachari won't let me in. He said, and he said he feels because he won't anybody from ISKCON in, because some of the ISKCON devotees are criticizing the Golja Mutt. So he won't let them in. But I know you're sincere. So sometimes my service, I have two services, looking after Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's samadhi and looking after the Chandrasekhar Bhavan. So I want to tell you that every time you come, you just look inside. If I'm there, I'll let you in. So I said, thank you very much. I said, I paid obeisance to him, and he gave me. We had this relationship where I would give him Mahabishad from Madhava, from Radha Madhava, and then he would give me Mahabishad from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then about a week later, I took another party to the on the same trip, same paragram. And I remember this. I looked inside, and he was sitting there doing his japa. And he said, "Oh, come in, Prabhu, come in, come in." And I said, "I'm not alone." I said, "I've got a family here from England." As actually, the family was from Bhaktisiddhanta Manor, and it was a husband and wife and two children. I said, "I'll bring them as well. Bring them." So then I explained that, "Please come in." He said, "But it's a sign here, nothing to see, but just come. So you're going to see something special today that we normally don't see." So then they came in, went upstairs. He opened the door, and there was the room I've always wanted to see, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's bedroom. And the atmosphere in that room, the only word to describe it in English is so transcendental. It was nothing. There's nothing compared. The atmosphere in that room is nothing compared to nowhere else. So then, the bed is long ways there, because one should not sleep with his feet to the deities. So then, on the left-hand side of the bed was three or four of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's walking sticks or canes. Then this brahmachari put one cane on our heads. And then, in front of the bed was a little raised platform about this size. And he took the cloth off. It was covered with a cloth. He took the cloth off, and there was a pair of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's leather shoes. And then he took them off there and put them on our heads. Then he took us to the veranda where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to pace up and down doing his japa there, and that saying he would also watch the brahmacharis doing their services from there. So this is how merciful So from that I could understand that all devotees, they're actually, as we say, you know, they are desire trees, and they can fulfill all the desires. So this brahmachari actually filled, brahmachari filled my desire to see and get on my head back to Damodara Thakur's shoes and cane and visit that room. So these 10 offenses that are actually stopping us from chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now, there's one Upanishad. It's called the Kali Sanatana Upanishad. It is where there's four Taraka Brahma Nama mantras for the four yugas. The Taraka word means removal of obstacles. It's where Narada Muni is visiting Lord Brahma, and he said, "Now there's so many obstacles in these yugas. Is there any mantra for them to counteract the inauspiciousness?" Inauspiciousness. And he said yes. So he gave one for Satya Yuga, one for Treta Yuga, and one for Dwapara Yuga, and of course, the one for Kali Yuga. But this mantras, they all have different results. So for the Satya Yuga, it's Narayan Paraveda, Narayan Parakasha, Narayan Paramukti, Narayan Paragati. And the mood is Isvara, opulence. This mantra only gives Santa and Dasyabhav, or Rasa. In Treta Yuga, it's Ram, Rama, Narayan, Ananta, Mukunda, Madhusudana, Krishna, Keshava, Kamsaveshwari, Hari, Vaikunti, Vamana. Again, the mood is Ishvaraya. Opulence gives complete Dasya and a glimpse of Sakya. In Dwapara Yuga, it's Hari, Murari, Madhu, Ketavavari, Gopal Govinda Mukunda Sori, Yajna Sri Narayan Krishna Vishnu, Naresh Raya Mana Jagadish Raksha. Again, it's the mood of Ishvaraya, the bhavs of Santa Das, Sakya, and Vasalya. Of course, Kali Yuga is Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. This is the fruit of this is complete Madhurya name, prema. And all the mellows are there, but without accepting a bona fide guru, a dear devotee of the Lord Caitanya, one cannot get this. So in the purport, Prabhupada said that Vidura was sad because he could not make his brother into a pure devotee. But we all know that with Lord Caitanya, nothing is impossible, nothing at all. By his adurya, his magnanimity, Everything is possible. When we can see by the pastime of Jagai and Madai, they were in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. There's a list of all the offenses that they committed, a whole list. And one time, it's described that the Jagamadai were used to move around their camps and their followers used to move around. So one time, their camp was nearby Srivasangam. So at night time, this is the time when Lord Chaitanya was, Srivasangam was closed to the public. Only the kirtan was for Lord Chaitanya's associates there. But even though the door was closed, Jagamadai, they could hear the kirtan. And even though they were there for about a week. So at the end of that week, after hearing that nocturnal kirtan, they were actually chanting chanting Hare Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya sent out Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda. And we know what happened, that Madai struck Lord Nityananda with a pot. And Jagai, Madai was going to hit him again, but Jagai, he said, no, what, stop. He's a sadhu. So we know. So then after that, they got the mercy of Lord Nityananda, they were invited to enter Srivasangam, the nocturnal kirtans. And Lord Chaitanya, he stressed to the devotees there, do not say anything against these two. They are pure devotees now. If you say anything against them, you will take their reactions. So then, because Jadai, he tried to stop Lord Nityananda, Madai from striking Nityananda again. He left. He left for his house. But Madai, he still felt very, very morose for actually striking Lord Nityananda. And then even Lord Chaitanya came to see him. He said, I don't worry, no, everything is okay. But he said, no. I said, I have taken all your sins. He said, why? He said, it's explained that at night time, one night, Lord Chaitanya went to the Ganga at night. And because it was night, his body turned black. So he took all the reactions of the sins of Jagai Madai. But he still wasn't satisfied. So then, Lord Chaitanya, he said, if you're okay, you build or construct a ghat, a bathing ghat, and invite all the people you offended, made offenses to. Invite them, and on your knees, you beg forgiveness. So he did that. He constructed a ghat, Jagamadai ghat. It's not there no more before our material vision. And I know the location where it is, or roughly where it is. And so all the people that he offended, Madai offended, on his knees, he was begging forgiveness. So it's not impossible. If we do make offences and we're humble like Madai and sincere, and we get the mercy, first of all, of Lord Nityananda, we can come one can attain to the stage of devotional service. And now this, yes, all right, yes, sorry, I had a sloka, it's actually glorifying, this is from Shambhagantam 11:5:36. Kalim sabjabhyanti arya guna jana sara bagninaha yatra sankirtanamiva sava savatvato bhavitvajate. Those who are actually advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali. Enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga, because in this fallen age, all perfection of life can easily be achieved by the performance of Sankirtan Nama. Now, the parents, because of the Lord Nityananda's mercy, we can approach Lord Caitanya. Now, when Lord Caitanya appeared, actually, Lord Caitanya's one of his purposes, external and internal. The external is from Adi Leela 440. Seidura Anchala Kirtana Sankare Nama Prema Mala Gante Prala Sankare. Thus Mahaprabhu spread kirtan even amongst the untouchables. He wore a wreath of the name and prema, in which he garlanded the entire material world. So we can see this from Krishnadas Kaviraja. Mahaprabhu, he has garlanded the whole material world with a mala of prema and nam. So when I first read this verse, and hearing a class, there's a class by Govinda Maharaj, he's speaking on this verse, and I was thinking, Mahaprabhu's given the whole garland, the whole material world. I said, I don't feel garlanded. And then a week later, I heard this class, and then he's saying to his disciples, he said, "Are you garlanded?" He points someone out. He said, "Mr. Allen, are you garlanded?" He says, "No." He said, "No, I'm not." He says, and then he says, "Yes, those who sleep, they." He says, "Why are you not garlanded?" And he couldn't answer. And he says, "Because Those who sleep, they miss their share. And then he gave another example. Somebody gave another example. Like all of us here are invited to a mongous feast. A mongous feast. We're all invited. But some of us we feel sleepy and tired, and we sleep through the whole feast. By the time we wake up, there's nothing left. So this is why we feel we don't have prema, because we're sleeping or we miss the feast. And so this is, but this prema we have is actually inherent in us. Bhagavan Thakur, he describes, he gives the example of a seed. Any seed, within that seed is, if you see this a banyan tree, that comes from a small seed. So within that seed is whatever you plant, tomatoes, put some seed in the ground, and you water it, nourish it properly, water it properly. Then what's in that seed will fructify and fruitify. The fruit will come. We as spirit soul, the potency is there within us, but it has to be watered properly. And this comes from the spiritual master, the mercy of Krishna, the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. The water that we have to be, it's nourished and it grows. So the prema is in the heart, but it has to be, the potency is there, but it has to be watered and nourished properly. And therefore, if it's nourished and watered properly, then eventually we will develop prema bhakti, develop it. This is from Adi Leela, Majjham Leela 22.107. Prema is not something you have to get outside. It is already there. Just like a young boy, young girl, as soon as they meet, there is a natural attraction that is already there. It is not that he has brought this attraction, purchased it from some shopkeeper. It is already there. Simply by combination, it becomes aroused. That's all. So this combination is the combination of all connection. One can use that word. The connection or combination is the relationship between the lover and the beloved. And of course, that also comes from the actual spiritual master again, in the form of Sabandha Gyan. So it's already there. We just have to find that connection and that combination. And that combination. So that's, it may seem very simple, but but practically it's very difficult. So we have to follow what the acharyas say. Now sometimes our previous acharyas, they seem to contradict each other. Even actually Sanatana Goswami makes a statement that seems to contradict himself. Now, this statement is saying that we know this relationship, this Svakya Rasa and Parakya Rasa. And the word Svakya is the married bliss of the queens and Dwarka. And Parakya is the bliss of the unmarried bliss in Vrindavan. And of the highest, that the two, Parakya Rasa is the highest. But Siddhanta Goswami, he knows this. But he's saying, Svakya Rasa is higher. So how can, he's one of our acharyas, how he seems. So we have to reconcile the two together. So we have to understand that at the time of Sanatana Goswami, some of his followers were not so advanced. And they were on the level of, they only understood Svakya Rasa. So they could only understand that. So to keep his followers, so to encourage his followers, knowing one day they will understand that Parakya is higher, he said that to encourage his disciples. And also on the same topic, I was reading the other day the history of Chakravarti Thakur. The same issue was also in Vrindavan. Actually came to Vrindavan. And there's one person who thought Svakya Rasa was higher. And Vishnu Chakravarti he was saying Parakya Rasa is higher. So this person said Svakya Rasa is the highest. He was going to kill Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur when he was doing his japa walk. So one day Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur he is doing his japa, doing his parakrama in Vrindavan, and he saw this person in hiding. He knew he was going to kill him. So then he changed his form into a beautiful gopi. And then, of course, this person who's going to kill him is thinking, where's Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur gone? He said, of course, he didn't answer. He didn't, in his gopi form, he didn't say anything. So this man said, "Who are you?" He said, "Oh, I'm a servant. I'm a maid servant of Shima. I'm a maid servant of Shima of Shiradika." "Oh, thank you." And then he went. And then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his gopi form, the manifestation, walked on, and then suddenly changed back to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, and then that person, and then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur looked at him, and then that person can understand, yes, that Parakya Rasa is higher. So there's two ways. So that was another way of reconciling what the acharya is saying. So we have to reconcile any differences we read, and this can be done by the mercy of a person who knows, and that's a bona fide spiritual master. Hare Krishna. I've tried to answer questions, if any. I love not too difficult. Anybody? Nothing. Okay. Gantaraj Shivshambhavangatam Kijai.